This is WTKY AM and FM, WKWY Tompkinsville, and WVFB Salina.
Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner this morning. Kevin Donaldson and I are here this morning. We didn't feel real comfortable this morning with all the things going on about inviting someone to come in and that type of thing. So we decided that if we can find anything to talk about here for about an hour, we're going to talk about probably a whole wide area of subjects. Sometimes he and I have some great conversations, and we wander off in all kinds of directions, probably worse than I do when I have the county mayor here wandering off on things. But we have a lot of common interest and a lot of uncommon interest, I guess. I don't know whether I've ever said that before or not, but we'd like to welcome you in here once again this morning, and we hope we'll bring a little pleasure and brightness and sunlight into your home this morning here with our broadcast out of the Clay County Corner on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we come to you, of course, each Thursday morning here live and in living color from the little corner office here that used to be this might have been the circuit court clerk office, I think, maybe at one time. And people used to come in here and pay fines. Occasionally someone will come in and knock on the door and try to pay a fine, and I'm always willing to take any fine as long as they'll pay me in cash and not expect a receipt. But so far I haven't had anyone take me up on that. But a lot of folks that come by that hadn't been here in a long time that get a ticket think they come by the same place they always have, instead of going down to the newer government complex to take care of business like that. But we'd like to welcome everyone in this morning and remind everyone that this show comes to you in a big part in through the efforts of the Clay County Chamber and the Three-Star Committee, and, of course, all the folks that sponsor here for this hour. And remind everyone that, of course, we're on live at 9 o'clock each Thursday morning. Then this evening at 6 o'clock there is a rebroadcast, and then all of the shows are archived and streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon website. So we have lots of opportunities to listen to us, and you know, if you have some folks that live away from here somewhere or another and you hear a specially interesting show, you know, remind them that they can go online and listen to that show. And so we've got a bunch of things to talk about this morning. I know we've got some important meetings going on in the state, and of course we'll have some updates on the virus stuff and some of the things going on here in the county. But with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and we'll just jump headlong into something here when we get back. But we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I know we got bright sunshine out there, got a little bit of a brisk, kind of chilly wind out there. I think that maybe been a song sometime about a chilly wind. But it's great to be here this morning. And as I said, Kevin's here with me this morning. And before I start with Kevin, he's overtaking him some notes over here, so we got some things we'll talk about there. But a couple of things, you know, if you are stranded at home now and like to do some reading, I'm going to throw a couple of names out at you. One that I have been reading for, I hadn't read a lot for in a while, but I've downloaded a few books during this little bit of time and discovered an author here in Tennessee that, to go along with the three that I've been reading quite a while, I know his name is Scott Pratt, and he lives over in the over in East Tennessee, over in, of course, in somewhere in and around the Gatlinburg area. And he is a lawyer, and of course he's writing the books kind of along the same style as the John Grisham stuff. And just to tell you how late I am in finding him, and I don't know why I hadn't found him before. I know he has one series of a lawyer that's got like nine books in it already. And plus a few other things. And then there's also another writer from over in East Tennessee named Keith Donnelly, who has a series about a detective over in East Tennessee. It's pretty good reading. And then the other one is a man named Stephen Womack. And Stephen Womack is actually, he was one of the writers on the old, what was the Nashville Police Show that was on the Nashville Network. He was one of the writers on that. And he's written a bunch of novels, detective novels, about some of the underbelly of the music business down in Nashville and just some things like that. And I think he actually won an Edgar Allan Poe Award for one of those. So if you're looking for something to read, kind of keep those two in mind. And I said Scott Pratt, Stephen Womack, and Keith Donnelly. That are local writers, and you know, when they go to writing about over in East Tennessee around Johnson City, in that area, you know, it's familiar to us. And I know the Scott Pratt books are they're just a little bit different. They kind of remind us of here of us here when they go to talking about the police work and all that kind of stuff. But they're very interesting reading. And his books also have just numerous side plots in them. Sometimes you got to back up a page or two and find out which plot you're on, but very interesting reading. And I know Kevin likes to read quite a bit. And
Thomas, I was just thinking, you know, for a small county and community the size that we are, we've had our fair share of book authors through the years. I'm not going to attempt try to name everybody because I know I'd, but we've had more than a handful of folks who either still reside in Clay County or who were once, they're Clay County natives who have written books.
You know, I remember some, I think maybe Miss Jerry Fox put a thing on her about a book that was written by Mrs. Reno here, Miss Della Reno.
Yeah.
And they brought it up there. His name was Grapefruit Gussie.
Absolutely.
And I can remember when I was in high school, there was a copy of that book in the library, and I can't remember a whole lot about it, but I think she illustrated it. And I do remember checking it out and reading it and looking in there and said, hey, this she's from Salina.
Absolutely.
And you know, in looking along that same line of things, too, you know, we've talked before about our songwriter here, Ms. Lola Jean Dillon. And, of course, when you're sitting around at times like this, I've actually gone on to YouTube, and I think I found 35 of her songs that have been recorded by major artists.
Right.
Some of them you have to dig to try to find, because if you just do searches on her, sometimes they don't turn up. And also I found another young lady from here in this area that you might be interested in, and that was Miss Diane Ridge Davis,
right,
who went to high school here, and there's a whole bunch of videos by her on YouTube.
Well, you had posted one of those on Facebook,
yeah.
And she was on the old Ralph Emery show,
yeah,
in one of those, which that's
times.
Pretty high cotton.
Yes. Yes, and I know she was You Want to Be a Star. I know she was on that maybe and finished second in that and did actually wind up with a recording contract. And the neat thing about that was in some of those videos, the musicians in that are backing her up there were part of the Cantor family down in Macon County. Terry, and I think maybe the other name was, I'm not sure what his name was, maybe Jerry, and their dad Bill, who was a pedal steel player, and they were our backup band in the musicals out here for a long time. We would hire them to come in and you know, learn those 40 or 50 songs that we did,
right,
in those programs. So, you know, it seems like all this stuff kind of fits in a pattern here around us sometimes.
It can, and a lot of folks have been digging up a lot of things to do. You know, I don't know of a time in either of our lifetimes, and you've got just a few years on me, but not a tremendous amount, that some people have had this much time to spend at home. You know, we're in an unprecedented era, an unprecedented time right now, and a lot of folks are digging up ways to help fill those hours and pass the time and also be productive.
You know, and I also found on the SoundCloud side, there's like 20-something sides of music by Bud Garrett there. And most of us, you know, never realized growing up, you know, actually what he was doing. You know, we just thought he was Bud Garrett. He came down there once in a while and played music here on the square with us. But and I do know that he spent a bunch of time out on the road with the Tennessee Folklore Society group, traveled all over the East Coast, played some of the major venues up and down the East Coast at one time. And, you know, all those things are there. You know, we just got to go out and find them. And this is a good time to catch up on a lot of things, isn't it?
Now, I don't know this on my own, but I've heard you say it, and hopefully you can confirm it. I don't think I dreamed this. A lot of Bud's material is in the Smithsonian. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes, I know they have a lot of material up there because he went up there as, I think that's when we had a group, a whole bunch of people from Clay County that went up there. I know our marble players and a whole bunch of people from Tennessee. They had a Tennessee Spotlight sometime back in the 80s, I believe, based on music, folklore, just different types of things. And there's a full section in there on that you can do a search on the Smithsonian side and find that material. I know it ranged from famous, you know, blues musicians, famous writers and things like that, all the way down to like our folks here in Clay County. And like Bud went up there with the marble making thing. He, you know, he was a marble maker.
Right.
And he, I guess, you know, they had those blues people. They would get out under the trees and sit and pick and sing and stuff. And of course, Bud had his guitar with him. He went out and sat down and joined the group, I think, from the story that I've heard. And the producers up there said, hey, you know, who is this guy? And they said, well, he's Bud Garrett, the marble maker. But then after that, he wound up on stage with a number of spots there. And I think there are some audio recordings of that. And I think they've got it set up now where maybe we can get to those and download some of those performances. But I do know we had our marble player there in Bud, and I know his wife went with him. It was just a great time. This spotlighted everything, some of the great things here in the state of Tennessee.
Right.
And I think also along that line there is a, I think it's in the National Geographic magazine, is the article on Bud back in the 80s where they came and they were talking about this general area, the Upper Cumberland area, that's kind of hard to find too. And I know there are some pictures there, some stories about Bud, and I think maybe a couple of pictures of some of our local youngsters in there, maybe Doug and Scotty McLaren, who were as young marble players.
Right.
I think their pictures actually show up in that. So, like, this is a good time, you know, to sit down and if something hits you, you know, get on that machine and find out. But, Kevin, I'll tell you what, we sat here and jabbered for a few minutes. I have more than you, but we'll take a little short break, come back, and I know you've got some important things that you want to talk to us about. We'll be right back.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shattered Healthcare and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, Kevin, it's your turn for a little while now.
Well, I won't monopolize the microphone, but while we're here, I guess we need to talk about as the old saying goes, the white elephant in the room, COVID-19 and the coronavirus and what it means to us in Clay County and across the state and the nation and literally the world. Just remind everybody, if you want up-to-date info, in addition to what you're able to see on TV, and there is so much of that, the state has a website, their website, with an entire section devoted to COVID-19, and that's tn.gov, and you will not have any trouble finding that information from there. It's got everything from the CDC guidelines to what it means to us locally in our individual counties. And there's resources there for businesses that have been affected by this, for workers and what an incredible number, and I'm not sure I can even recall what it is, of people in the state of Tennessee and nationwide who have filed for unemployment. I want to say in Tennessee the number was close to 100,000. Can you help me with that, Thomas?
I think that was about, in that neighborhood was the last number that I saw, Kevin.
And it seems like there's more help available with that than there ever has ever been, but the sheer number of people who are applying is probably, I haven't gone through the process myself, obviously, but it's probably slowing that down some. I know even before COVID-19 got really serious, just back in the early part of it that we knew about anyway, the Department of Labor was switching people who normally do something else over to help process unemployment claims. I don't know how that's going. If anybody's been through that process, give me a call at the chamber. I'd like to hear about that. But a lot of help has been made available by the government. And again, if you want to check those resources, just go to tn.gov. And let me also say this before I forget to say it. If you are a business or an individual who has been affected very directly by this in some financial way, I certainly don't know everything that's available out there, but if you'll give me a call at the chamber, that's 243-3338, I think I can point you in the right direction. We're not going to be able to do anything directly for you at the chamber, but I believe we might help you in terms of expediting the process. So give us a call. We have had an outpouring of information, and that's, I guess, really the biggest part of what I'm doing now, since we don't have any meetings at the chamber and won't for the foreseeable future, is just gathering that information and getting it out to the appropriate people. And if you need any help, again, you can call us at 243-3338 or email, if you'd rather do that, claychamber2017, claychamber2017@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to point you in the right direction. Thomas, I guess getting just a little bit closer to home, it looks like the latest update shows now that we have two confirmed cases of coronavirus in Clay County, and if I did the addition, the math correctly, and the addition, it looks like we're really, excuse me, knocking on the door now of 100 people who have been tested. And of course, we had Matt Tuck from the health department here with us last week, and he was kind enough to spend, I guess, the better part of 30 minutes with us, kind of walking us through that process. And he raised an important point. We can say that testing is done on site, but samples are taken on site and then sent away for testing. So there is a 2 to 3 day wait on the outcome there, but they're still doing that at the health department. I believe those hours are 9 to 3. Should have brought that info with me, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. And just urge anybody who feels like they may need to do that to do it. As Matt explained last week, there is a screening process, and if you don't meet some of those criteria, they'd rather you not be tested, because that test might be used on for somebody else. But again, just reach out to your health care professionals, and the Clay County Health Department is a screening site and a sample collection site as well. Thomas, I guess we could also just remind everyone that basically, I guess, through the end of this month, county and city offices are closed to the public but still fully functioning. You can visit the City of Salina's website. That's cityofsalinatn.com for info, or just simply give them a call at 243-2115. And you can keep up. We try to help out with the county's info on the chamber Facebook page. You can keep up with things there, and also on our website, dalehalllake.org. We have some info there. But for the foreseeable future, there are no meetings being held, and there, you know, there won't be probably through the end of the month, although the county, as Mayor Reagan discussed here last week, is looking at the possibility toward the end of the month, doing a meeting by conference call and possibly Facebook Live or some other process, so it is a public meeting. Just stay tuned to Facebook and the papers and here for more information on that, but it looks like it would be probably toward the end of April. Thomas, I'm talking a lot now. Have you got anything to throw in here of a local nature?
Well, no, right now this might be a good time for me to read the birthdays off. And I know we can change horses with you here in a minute, but you know, I want to remind everyone that patience right now. I know, you know, we're all kind of centric toward ourselves and the folks around us, and when all these things come down to all this the so-called stimulus money and all those things, and we listen to it on TV, and we think, you know, well, all we got to do is punch a button, and it's going to come to us. Well, you know, this is a time of great patience. We're one of millions right now that, you know, that have the same thoughts.
Yes.
And, you know, it's going to require patience. But, you know, it seems like that this legislation has pretty much thrown a safety net out that's going to catch anyone, and seem like they have been conscious of the fact if there's something they did miss, that they're going to take care of that immediately. And so, you know, like I said, just right now, patience, and be aware that they're still dangerous. You know, we're getting told every day to be careful who we're around for not only their safety but our safety, and we do need to practice that. And, you know, we hear lots of conflicting ideas about this from different folks, and I know some of the good news that we're hearing now is that the doctors, a lot of the so-called specialist doctors, are now, you know, kind of toning back their numbers that they first threw out that were kind of doom and gloom.
Right.
That you know, they're kind of, you know, re-looking at things like that, and then looking from just someone sitting here, and I know Kevin probably thinks the same way as I would on that. But if some politician had come up in January and said, this is going to be taking place right now, and we need to spend $3 trillion on this to take care of it before it happens. You know, that's, you know, I know it's been a great awakening for us, and hopefully it will help us to be prepared if there's something like this comes down. But there's no way that you can really be fully prepared for something like this.
No, it would seem to me, as a layperson, I'll say that right off the bat, that there is no way to 100% be prepared for a pandemic. There are steps you can take, and I think this has been and will be a learning experience for us. But as Thomas mentioned, you know, we're finally getting some good news out of this. It looks like maybe there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, but we don't need to let our guards down.
No.
We need to keep doing what we're doing, and I just believe in my way of looking at it, that the things we're doing is the reason we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. So let's keep doing the things we need to do, folks.
Okay, and with that, I think this would be a good time to go through our list of birthdays and anniversaries today. Got quite a lengthy list here. Some of these are just birthdays that I have heard about, seen about, because some of them have been call-ins. But first, on the birthdays, we remind everyone, 243-5574. And the first two I have here are a husband and wife team here, I guess, that they're grandparent called in, Sherman and Liz Brown, for their granddaughter and her husband. And I didn't get the husband's first name, but they're Jerish Pidcock and her husband. I think the husband celebrated his 34th birthday, and Jerish was celebrating her 32nd birthday this past week. So we'd like to wish both of them a happy birthday from their grandparents, great-grandparents. And looking on down through the list this week, got a few here. Mike Barlow celebrated a birthday on the 8th. Wesley Walker on the 4th. Anna Eisenberg on the 5th. Zach Roberts on the 7th. Richard Buford celebrated a birthday, I believe, yesterday, Kevin. I believe. How about Parker Donaldson? I believe he celebrated.
He did. He yesterday, absolutely.
And also Matt Farrell
celebrated a birthday. And then also one of my former basketball players celebrated a birthday on the 4th, Mr. John Carlisle. So I'd like to wish all those folks a happy birthday. And remember, you know, if you want your name on the list, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with our birthday cake thing right now. I know with our Dairy Queen being on the kind of the closeout type thing that they're on, that I know they make their cakes over in Livingston and bring them over here. And I don't think they have been doing that for a little while. But we'll have a list and have the little card, the gift card for the folks that do win one of those. And when all this is kind of settled down a little bit, I guess folks will come by out there and pick them up.
We'll just start a file, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll have a run on birthday cakes over to Dairy Queen.
Absolutely.
And with that, I think we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and I know Kevin's got some more interesting stuff that he wants to relay to us, and said we'll be back with you just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, UnitedHealthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, powered by those we serve.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Welcome back, everyone. As we come back, I've got two more historical birthdays for today. One of these, of course, those that are of my age remember him very well, Carl Perkins, the writer and singer of one of Elvis's big songs, Blue Suede Shoes. So be careful and don't step on anybody's blue suede shoes today. And this other one, I kind of thought this was interesting. In 1932, Cheetah the Chimp was born. And if you're a Tarzan movie
fan. Tarzan fame,
yeah,
right?
You know, I mean, you knew who Cheetah was. Well, Cheetah the Chimp was born in 1932, and Cheetah was with us until 2011. Kevin and I, we just kind of commented, you know, he had a pretty good long life.
I didn't realize chimpanzees could live that long.
He must have a pretty good retirement plan.
Absolutely.
But I thought that was kind of neat. Kevin, back to some serious things. I know you've got some other things over there to fill us in on this morning.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about local in a few minutes, but there is a COVID-19-related issue, very important one, that will be dealt with today. The State Board of Education will be meeting today from 2 to 4 p.m. to basically discuss and act on issues related to our school year and what's going on. You know, you've got kids who are looking to graduate both at college and high school, and I'm not going to go into the particulars of exactly what they'll be looking at there. You may have already seen that on your TV news, and I feel certain in saying it'll be one of the lead stories tonight. But one of the things, and I'm just reading straight off the website what I wrote down, they will discuss, among other things, the minimum requirements for the approval of public schools. And it's all related to the 2019-2020 school year as a result of COVID-19. There have been some preview stories. I had not seen them until I was made aware of this meeting today about this already, and I feel certain that the Nashville news stations will carry this as a pretty big thing. The Board of Education at the state level will be evaluating exactly how our local education associations will handle the remainder of the school year. Now, you actually can do a conference call and listen in on this if you want to. You can go to, again, tn.gov/SBE, that's for State Board of Education, /meetings. And they did want everybody to know there's a code there to get in the conference call, the number you need to call, the whole nine yards. But they said there could be some connectivity issues just simply due to all the conference calls that are going on across the United States. That's another thing, another big change that we've seen here. So many conference calls and Zoom and virtual meetings and just everything imaginable. But also, the meeting will be recorded and posted on that website page that I just mentioned within 24 hours. Again, that web page, if you want to look at it up close and personal, tn.gov/SBE/meetings. And that will go, well, it goes without saying that's going to affect a lot of folks. You know, if you're listening and have children, it affects you. If you're listening and have grandchildren, it affects you as well. And that's going to be, I feel safe in saying, a major news story. And that is today from 2 to 4 p.m.
Well, you know, Kevin, it has to be kind of hard to come up with, you know, a real the dates, the guts to something like this because of all of the different school systems. Some folks have gone longer than others. Some of them had different requirements for graduation. You know, I know there's a state minimum that must be met,
right.
But a lot of schools had, you know, they'd added things different that made it past the minimum and things like that. And also the number of days in school. There's just such a variety of things involved in this, wasn't
it? And Thomas, I think I'm correct in saying this also. They had a meeting on Tuesday in which these issues were discussed, not voted on. Today they will actually be voted on. So, you know, you can probably Google or whatever your favorite search engine is and get more details on that. I'm not going to give them out because I don't want to spread any misinformation. And I don't know the specifics of it, but that is a that's something that's going to affect everybody. You know, we've got, what, 1,000, probably 1,100 school kids in our county here, and that ripple effect goes through all the parents and grandparents, and it's a huge thing.
You know, and knowing from, you know, being an educator over the years, and I think with our system here, if it's kind of like it kind of leaning toward over the years was, that most of our seniors here had enough credits, the minimum that the state required, to be ready to graduate by the first end of the first semester of school each year. And I think most of the, basically, it had been a very unusual thing if they were still had a required course to take the last semester of their senior year. So, you know, and I'm sure a lot of schools were that way. And, of course, with the State Department of Education coming up with this, those local changes that they had made, the more credits they were requiring and that type thing for graduation would then be kind of a moot question, whether because they would no longer be in effect.
And I don't know exactly what the protocol on that would be, but I suspect each local school system would probably have to take some type of action or make a request as to changes that they might see fit to be made, and that'd probably have to be approved at the state level, but that obviously that can be done. Now I'm just talking thinking out loud. I don't know that that's the way it'll work.
You know, we kind of know that because, you know, one of the things that's always been done, I think most of the schools in the state of Tennessee do that, was that the students would have those required subjects finished, and that actually the honor students, the valedictorian, salutatorian, those type honors were usually bestowed based upon the grades
first semester
of their
senior year. That's right.
Which meant that most of their, basically their important work was done.
Right.
But they were kind of getting ready to coast out to the rest of the year, weren't they?
I think they may, the state board, that is, may be looking at picking out a particular date and saying, all right, everything stopped here. And, of course, that, you know, they'll set a date that will apply to everybody in the state, I'm sure. But school didn't stop at the same time for every school system by a long shot. The coronavirus hit right in spring break time too, depending on, you might have been at the end of it, might have been at the beginning of it, depending on what school system you know you're talking about. But we'll see. I suspect when we turn on the 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock news tonight, we can find out what we need to know about it.
You know, that was kind of the short term plan, wasn't it? To kind of plan closing schools down around the dates that most of them had the spring break, and throw that week in there, maybe a week before,
right,
a couple of weeks before or after, and we'd have this taken care of here in a short period of time. But it didn't hardly work that way, did it?
Well, there's been so many deadlines and dates out there that it's difficult to keep up with them. But am I remembering that April 24 was the school possible reopening?
Right.
I mean, he said we're not going to go back till at least then. And of course, that may be extended. We kind of seen that happening as well.
You know, and I'm wondering along that line, you know, something that's kind of really important to us here, and that was the finishing up of the state tournament. If the school year, you know, officially ends on that date, that would kind of take care of any any school activities, wouldn't it?
Well,
that's something that hit me here.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that seems logical. Absolutely does.
So I don't know, but I know that's something that we've kind of held out hope for here, that there would be a magic date appear somewhere in the future when our young men can go down and participate in the state tournament. But of course, that I think the clouds are kind of gathering over that as this thing goes along.
And of course, you and I are both sports fanatics. It's affected the sports world, which means it's affected our entertainment in an incredible way. I mean, to think about major sporting events, the NCAA tournament being postponed. Of course, should have been.
The millions of dollars in the
billions of dollars. Yeah, it's
billions of dollars.
Incredible. Really, really is.
Well, I know the other night I caught myself kind of grazing through the channels, and sometime I'd been close to midnight, I ran across a rerun of Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson.
Well, now that does go back a while.
I didn't watch it again.
Yeah. So, and that one actually lasted a little bit, unlike a lot of Tyson fights.
The 10th round.
Absolutely.
And I sat there and watched it kind of excited. I couldn't remember exactly which round it was and all this stuff. But, Kevin, I tell you, let's take a little short break, come back.
All right.
And we'll continue.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I know we've got some other important things to talk about. I know one off camera here, we were talking about our sesquicentennial celebration here, our
right.
County fair, and some of the events going on here. And I know we've got some updates on that. We really don't have anything set in stone, because we can't right now.
Not at all. Of course, the sesquicentennial, the organizing committee, of which we are both a member, decided back, oh goodness, I don't know, it may have been 2 or 3 weeks ago now, or maybe further back, that the sesquicentennial, that's the 150th anniversary or birthday, whichever way you want to look at it, celebration for Clay County in 2020, has officially been postponed, not canceled, but postponed. And we don't know what the future holds. It just depends on how long this crisis goes on. And of course, that was scheduled to be held in June, as is the fair, and no decision has been made on the fair either. And you think, well, that's still quite a ways out. That's another couple of months away. Why do you have to postpone it or whatever? And multiple reasons, but one is this. Between now and then, so many things have to happen in order to meet that date, even if we're clear. And those things cannot happen with social distancing. No, absolutely cannot do it if you're, what's the term? I get them safer at home, and I think that's what we're practicing right now. You can't do the things necessary for these dates, you know, to be ready on these dates as they're coming. But both those are in June, and of course, there are other celebrations that will take place later in the year, in the summertime and after in the fall. So, yeah, we're just in a holding pattern with that, for lack of a better term, in terms of knowing when those events will be held or if they can be held. And we'll do our best to keep everybody updated on all those.
And, you know, and we are individually, we haven't had any meetings, but we're still working. I know Melissa's still collecting materials. We're doing research, and, you know, and it seems like this has been a good thing in one way is that folks have started sitting down and digging through the old dresser drawers and finding things there, and a lot of them are scanning them or taking pictures of them, putting
right.
them online, and kind of letting, I guess, letting the, those of us that work with the Sesquicentennial about some of this material that's turned up that's out there, that this is giving folks time to do some searching. And look.
Right. And if you want to stay up to date on what's going on with the Sesquicentennial, a very, very active Facebook page for that celebration, and our chair, Melissa White, has been posting a tremendous amount of very readable material there. I mean, just page after page, pictures out of old annuals and what was it, Thomas? The 1952 district tournament and all that, you know, had all the players, had the old story about David Short, our legend here in Clay County, and about him making All-Mid State and various other things. But a lot of good stuff. And if you've got anything and can scan it and email it to us, just do that to me at the chamber, and I'll forward it on to the appropriate folks. Again, that email address is claychamber2017@gmail.com, but follow the Sesquicentennial on Facebook, and of course there is a 150 website now as well. You can just Google Clay County Sesquicentennial and find that, and we've also got information about it on dalehalllake.org, the chamber website.
So lots of places to find out things, and I do know, Kevin, some of the things I had planned, and to me, one of the things I know that's going to still be on go is session up in the courthouse during our storytelling thing, we're getting together, we're going to line up all the old athletes, coaches, fans or whatever, and have I don't know how long a session up in the courtroom one day of just telling stories
right.
About things that happened in the sporting world here over the years. The old Sam Lynn stories, the T. Kittle Smith stories, the stories of the tobacco bowl teams, the extended clock down in Madison one year that we had to play a fourth quarter until they got ahead. And I was very young then, but happened to be there. I mean, things like that. You know, there's all kinds of stories, and we've got lots of folks that I know are interested in listening. And, you know, once you get a whole bunch of people like that in a room, and one of them gets up and tells a story, well, the other one comes back, he remembers one.
Right.
And, you know, this could go on for days before we...
Well, and whenever the Sesquicentennial is held, storytelling will be a big part of that. I mean, just think about how many, and I'm sure every community and county is that way. Think of the storytellers we've got in Clay County. You know, that, like you say, that could be a never-ending process and a way for folks to socialize. You know, I suspect we're going to be starved, absolutely starved for things to do whenever we do get the all clear on this, you know, and folks are going to want to get out and socialize in ways besides doing that virtually, you know. But right now, think what a big help that social media and the modern communication modes that we have, what a help they are to us right now, Thomas.
Yeah, you know, and we're so grateful for this fiber backbone that we have here in Clay County with the telephone company, with Twin Lakes Telephone. If you hadn't been associated with that, folks, this has been around here hanging on these poles since 1990. And we've gotten to the point each year where we come up with the only thing that slows down fiber is the equipment on each end of it. I mean, there's no limit to the amount of information, the number of zeros and ones that you can send across that glass line. The only limitation is, you know, what you have in your home, and of course the last mile, they call it, and that is the link from the main backbone up to your house. And I think just about anybody in Clay County that really wants fiber to the home, I think they have it now. And that means that, you know, it may mean upgrading your equipment at home. I think that's something that a lot of folks found out about with some of the online classes. And along that line, I do know that there are so many numerous sites there on the web where, as a parent, if you want to do a lesson on, you know, if your student is taking American history and they were studying World War II or something, there are numerous lessons that are available there, like from Smithsonian, the Smithsonian Channel, from the National Geographic, all of these places. They actually have formatted lessons where they will email you a lesson plan, and then they will show you a video with, sometimes even with a master professor up doing a lecture on the subject that your child is needing. And all these things are available now, and you just, you have to go out and look. And basically, if you want to find something, as Kevin says, you Google it, whatever you want to know. If you want to see, if you want to do some senior English, senior high school English lessons, Google it, and I guarantee you, you'll get hundreds of thousands of places where you can go down and really drill down and find right to the very subject if you want to know where an apostrophe belongs.
And
you can do that.
Something else to throw into that equation too, Thomas, is our public TV stations. I don't know the exact details of it, but I know WCTE, which serves us and across the Upper Cumberland, is offering educational programming right now as well.
I think it's every morning about 9 o'clock, isn't it?
And then I believe maybe later on at night, too, they replay it.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of resources available. And I know a lot of moms and dads have taken over the role of teaching and tutoring right now, and I know that's been an interesting experience for everybody involved, and probably drawn everybody a whole lot closer in the process as well.
I think, of course, we've all seen the jokes of where the moms don't know where the alternative school is.
Right.
But, it's been an eye-opener in more ways than one, and I think, that this has kind of taught us to be more appreciative of the folks around us that have provided us services. I know from our local small businesses here, our restaurants, our stores here, our clothing stores, our antique stores, all of those things, we've kind of taken them for granted until all at once they've been taken away from us.
Absolutely.
And right now, I think we're seeing the importance of them and how much they actually mean to us here in Salina.
Well, and Thomas, a big question. I know we're headed down the home stretch here. And we should open with this question instead of ending with it, is what does all this mean for us in the future? And we don't know yet, but I suspect there's going to be some fundamental changes in our society and in our way of doing things as a result of this. I was reading somewhere the other day, is this the end of the handshake?
Right, I thought that.
Things that, again, we take for granted, something we just do by instinct. You stick your hand out to shake somebody's hand when you either meet them for the first time or maybe see them again.
It's kind of especially a Southern tradition here, bless your heart, honey, and grab them and give them a hug.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're saying, that's, we don't, we need to think about that from now on. And, that 6-foot distance, I think I saw something there the other day where, back when we were youngsters, we'd heard some of our young ladies talking about us, and they'd be telling us, and say, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Well, the pole's been shortened down to a 6-foot pole, but now, you wouldn't touch him with a 6-foot pole. So, it's going to change our society, and maybe, that we will find better ways of communicating with each other, better ways of showing our true feelings toward folks.
A lot of lessons that we can learn. Hopefully we will.
I think right now I need to go ahead and announce our birthday for today, and that is for the Pitcock family. We're going to combine them two, and they can share this cake, which I'm sure they would anyway. But like I said, right now we don't know for sure what's happening. We'll have a file started, and sometime in the future you'll be able to go by over there and pick up one of those cards for the Salina Dairy Queen. And with that, Kevin, I guess it's about time to shut the doors here. We've got all the livestock put back up. We'll get out of here, and we'll try to distance ourselves from each other here for the rest of the day, maybe. And hopefully, though, that we go home, do a little work in the yard, in the garden, or whatever. And I want to remind every folks now that this is the commercial plug for Matt Craighead. I think he's going to start taking orders this weekend, and I do that because Matt is always so gracious to us here at the courthouse. Anything left over when all the plants are sold, they wind up in the flower pots out here around the courthouse. And with that, we'll say good day, Clay County, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. Once again, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. Good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.